Amen. Well, it's good to see everybody out to the home group meeting tonight for the month of April. It's always a privilege and a pleasure to have everyone and all those that are pressed for way out, and it's just a joy. And it's also very encouraging to hear people as I put it on the website, and they go ahead and, you know, they give comment from different places around the world, and it's always a joy to do that. Amen. Let's go ahead and get into what the Lord would have for us tonight. As we do with our custom, we always try to look at 2 points from last month to kind of get our spirit moving in the right direction and, you know, to where the Lord would have us. And so the first point that we're going to look at is, if we are to share with Christ in the ministry of the gospel, we must be trained and we must be approved. We must be trained and we must be approved if we're going to share with Christ in the ministry. Now remember, this is wilderness truths from modern times, and we're in the wilderness of sin. And that is not the sin, you know, it's a misdemeanor or whatever, but this is the actual wilderness of sin where the children of Israel, God brought them to so that he could make soldiers of them. So he could equip them, so he could give them their weapons of war, so he could give them all of those spiritual things that they needed to be successful in the 40 years that they wandered through the wilderness in the battles. They fought 8 battles, but also they had to be equipped so when they crossed the River Jordan, they were in the promised land. Well, it wasn't very promising because they had 40 campaigns to take the promised land. I mean, it was a promised land. I promise I'm going to give this to you, but for you to have that land, you're going to have to fight for it. So it wasn't just a promise, here's the promise and here's the promise. It's a promise you can have it, but you're going to have to fight for that. And in the wilderness of sin, they spent many, many years God developing them and training them. And the training we looked at last month was found in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 4 and 5. And the approving was 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 6 and 8. And if you get a chance and you can go back and listen to that teaching last month, it was a really good teaching and it really has some really good points. Amen. The second point that we saw last month that we looked at is, in our training, we are to be exercised. And when we are exercised, we become strengthened. Let me say that again. In our training, we are to be exercised. And during that exercising, during, you know, God putting us through our paces and testing us and approving us, we become strengthened. And the process is training, exercising, obeying. Because nobody will be able to obey unless you've been trained. If you're in the military, end of your life, you know for you to obey the orders over you, you're going to need to be trained, and you're going to have to put that training to use. And that is the process, the same spiritual process in our life, of training and exercising and obeying. Amen. So this is Wilderness Truths from Modern Times 21. 1 Timothy 3 and 6, and you have it in your notes right there. It says, not a novice, lest being lifted up with pride, he fall into the condemnation of the devil. Not a novice. Paul says, not a novice, lest he be puffed up. In other words, not one who is newly planted in the Lord. The Greek word translated novice actually means newly planted. Why not a novice? Because he is not yet strong for the task at hand. A novice has not received anything from the Lord except for salvation. When we first come to the Lord, the only thing we get is salvation. We don't have anything else. Everything else in God we get is going to cost us something. But a novice has nothing to give. Remember, a man cannot give what he does not have. If I say I'm going to give you $10, I have to have $10 before I can give it to you. If I have something spiritually, I say I'm going to give to you, I have to have that before I can give it to you. Because a man cannot give what he does not have. And we cannot give salvation. Only the Lord can give that. Only the Lord can save. And even though at times, you know, we think we can. And Pastor Foster taught me a really good lesson one day, and I'm going to talk about that in a second. And we need to remember that. Remember one day we were in the fitness center, and we were talking, and he asked me a question. He said, well, how many people have you saved? And I said, well, you know, and And I said something, I can't remember, you know, I can't remember what it was, and he said, you didn't save anybody. And it's true. I can't save anybody. And that has stuck with me all of, you know, I mean, you know, for at least 8 or 9 years, you know. I can't save anybody. We can't save anybody. But anything that we have, we're supposed to give that away. And we can't give that away unless we already have it. A man cannot give what he does not have. And all we get from God will cost us something. Let me say that again. All that we get from God will cost us something. Who would like to know the power of God?
Amen.
Want to have their hand up.
Amen.
Well, I will tell you, God just will not give you His power to give you His power. No. It's going to cost you something to get His power. Who would like to know His presence? Oh, wow. We all want to know. Oh, the wonderful feeling. Well, you don't get His presence, it's because you want it. You get His presence when you pay the price. There's something that He will ask of you to get His power and to get His presence. Who would like to know the person of God? Wow. I would love to know the person of God. But that will cost you everything. To know the person of God will cost you everything. There's nothing free in God. Even our salvation was not free. Oh, it was free to me, but it cost Jesus His life. Nothing is free. Amen. How would we be sustained in a particular spiritual battle found, say, in the service of a pastor? And if he didn't experience success, he would become puffed up and proud and therefore be defeated. Because that is war. That they would fail. Oh no, it's because they might succeed. Paul was not talking about being puffed up in failure. Who was ever puffed up in failure? Paul was talking about being puffed up in success. Acclaim any others, compliments may be given. Just because they are there does not mean that one man must be puffed up over them. But a novice is very likely to be puffed up over success, and that is which and that at which it brings. Expect it. Remember, he is a novice. I have seen this spiritual principle in action in my life. I have experienced this spiritual principle in my life. I can remember when the Lord started to use me. Man, did I get puffed up? Did I think I was important? And I guarantee you, I'm not the only person that ever thought that.
Amen.
But a novice, and that is the reaction of a novice. That is the reaction of a novice, that they're going to get puffed up, and you know they're going to think that you know they're moving. So expect that, because that's the way that a novice works. There are novices in churches. What shall be done with him? He has an ability, and he can well fill the office of a leader. He has qualifications, but we will not put him into that office. No. Paul says, not a novice, lest he gets puffed up, because he will be victorious. He may succeed. People will pat him on the back, and then he will fail in that. Why? Because he will fail. No, because he will succeed. Somehow the church has gotten this message that people are the work of God. No, that's not true. Ephesians 2:10 tells us that we are the workmanship of God. We are the workmanship of God. I like that. In the German, that would be Ephesians 2:10, that we are the Baustelle. The Baustelle, and that means workman, workmanship. We are the workmanship of God. Amen? Most people are put into positions in the church based on their natural ability. Most people in church, especially a novice that comes into a church, because he has this natural ability, he's put into a church and he's put in the leadership positions. But that is not the way the Word of God works. You may be qualified to do something in the church, but if you're not authorized, then you should not be doing it. Mm-hmm. A novice should not be authorized. A novice is not authorized. Saul found that out. Saul was the king, and he thought that he could go ahead and do the sacrifice. Am I right?
Yes.
He was the king, but God said, no, Samuel is to do the sacrifice. Wait till Samuel comes to do the sacrifice. And Saul said, no, I will do the sacrifice. He was qualified to do that because he was king, but he was not authorized. Amen. Amen. People in the church usually get positions based upon their natural ability. When I was pastoring in Germany, in Stuttgart, I was pastoring in Stuttgart. Church started growing. We started out of a little small chapel system of about 30 people. I think Pastor Foster probably can, you know, relate to that. And in 1996 we started. I came back to the station in 2003. We had about 800 or so people. And so as the church was growing, we needed some Sunday school leadership and some teachers, you know. So the first thing I had to find was a Sunday school, the head of the Sunday school. And I went to many of the brothers in church, Michael, and I said, many Americans, I said, brother, I said, you know, we need a Sunday school director. You know, can you, you know, do that? Oh, yeah. Yeah, I could do that. That's no problem. I did that when I was in the States. Yeah, I could do that. Thank you very much. And I'd go to the brother and I would ask him, oh, yeah, I can do that. No problem. Oh, yeah. I got time. Yeah, no problem. And I said, thank you very much. And so I kept asking, and I saw this one brother. His name was Augustine. He was from Nigeria. And Augustine saw me. And he heard that I was looking for a Sunday school director. And Augustine said, hold it, Pastor Dave, right there. Right there. Do not even ask me, can you be the Sunday school director? And I said, well, why not? I said, Pastor Dave, I love you too much, and I do not want to disappoint you. Because I can't do it. I can't do it. And I said, what did you say? He said, I can't do it. And I said, thank you, Augustine, very much. Well, I couldn't wait till the service started. Because when it was my turn to get up and speak, I said, I would like to announce our new Sunday school director. And his name is Augustine. And I looked back and he just kind of slid down in the seat. But he was selected not because of his ability. Because there were probably other people there that had greater ability than he did.
Yeah.
But he answered the question right. He answered the question, I can't do it.
Man.
When we do it, that means God is not doing it.
Yes.
And that's why a novice should never, ever be put in a position, because he's going to do it. He's going to do it. And when he does it, it doesn't, you know, the job doesn't get done. And God doesn't do it. The more glory that we, I'm sorry, the glory that we call upon to hold and to carry, the stronger our support system and structure must be. The meat and muscle of a 20-year-old cannot go on the bones and the frame of a 4-year-old. The same is true in the spiritual realm. That frame is not enough to support and hold all of that weight. The 4-year-old must grow. And as he grows, his structure, his bracing, the thing that holds everything together and enables him to carry more weight, grows along with that weight. It is in success that we are most likely to fall and stumble out of the way, not in failure. It is in success we are most likely to fall. Amen?
Amen?
The more of God's ability we possess, the more it requires us to submit to Him. Boy, that's an interesting point and a very important thought. The more of God's glory, the more of God's ability we possess, the more it requires us to submit ourselves to Him. Because if we don't, then we will not be able to grow in the strength, and we will not have the ability to do those things that God wants us to do. Amen. We grow in God, more and more of His glory comes. When we grow in God, more and more of His glory comes. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, therefore, grow in the grace of the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is not a suggestion. That is not a good idea. That verse is a command. When we grow in God, after we get saved, there is to be spiritual growth and development in our life. Therefore, we are to grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the more and more of His grace is given to us, more and more persecution will come our way. For everything God adds to us, we need strength enough to carry the load. Everything that God gives us, have it be a testing or a blessing in our life, we still need that strength to be able to endure that. That strength. Paul talked about that, to be strengthened with might in the inward man. And this is God's plan for our lives, you know. But that's not taught in very many churches. God desires that we grow in the grace and the knowledge. And as we grow in the grace and the knowledge, and we gain these things to us, as we take these spiritual things on to us, we need to have the strength of God within us. Because if we do not have the strength of God in us, we will not be able to carry them. We will, you know, and we will fail, and we will not be able to do those things. It is very, very important that we grow in the grace and the knowledge, but it's also very, very important that we submit ourselves before God, so He can strengthen us with might in the inward man and carry all of the glory and carry all of the things that He would like to bring into our life. But I promise you, that message is not taught in very many churches. It's not. Oh, no, it's not. It's God's going to bless you. This is your destiny in God and all that good stuff. But the message of the cross is faint in those churches. Amen? As we are moving in God, we must move also in His strength. We must gain strength in order to be able to carry that which God puts upon us. And God is kind of funny in that, because God adds to us by what we lose. Did you know that? God will add to us by what we lose. How much of the world can we lose? How much of ourselves can we lose? At that same measure of the things of the world, at that same measure of ourselves, at the same measure of that things in us that are not of God that we can lose, then God can add to us. No more, no less. There's only so much room in our heart. And if our heart is full of the things of the world, if our heart is full of things of ourself and grandeur and all of this stuff, then there's no room in God, in our heart for God. So as we lose those things that are of ourselves, that's why Paul says, that's why John said in John 12:24, and let the grain of wheat fall into the ground and die. Did you know that spiritual growth and development in God is through death? It's not through life. It's not through living. It's through death. The more that we can die to ourselves, the more we can die to our selfish desires and our, you know, all of those things, the more we can live in God. Jesus says that unless we are baptized into His life, no. Unless we are baptized into His death, there will be no resurrection life in us. Wow. Resurrection life is put in us as we die. As we die to ourselves. As we die to all of those things that we think that are important, but that are not of God. As we die to all of those things, then God is able to put that resurrection life in us. Amen. And if we are not strengthened in God, we will never, ever be able to grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord. You will never, ever be able to grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord unless you are strengthened by God. And God only strengthens us when He can train us, when He can exercise us, when He can put us through our paces, when He can put us through some hard times, when He can put us through some errands, when He can check us out, when He can approve us. And when He can do all those things, then God can strengthen us. I mean, how many times was Paul strengthened by God? Let's see, he was naked 3 times in the deep, 39 lashes, you know, a minus one. He was shipwrecked. I mean, do you think Paul was a pretty strong man? God put him through his paces. But at the end, he could say, I ran the race. I finished the course. Well, he could have never finished his course or run the race or enjoyed anything that he went through if he was not strengthened by God. And he was strengthened by God when God put him through some very, very difficult areas in his life. Amen. God's provisions are growth and armor, or development. Growth and armor and development. The full armor. Amen. In Ephesians 6, 12, and 18, very, very familiar verses. I'm going to read through those, and I'm just going to talk about them a little bit. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against powers, against rulers of dark ages of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. You know who else we need to stop wrestling with? We need to start wrestling with one another. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Amen?
Amen.
We really do. We need to stop wrestling with one another. Lord, have mercy. You go to this church, you go to that church, or you see this brother or this sister, and we're wrestling with them. You know? And sometimes we don't even give them the satisfaction of, they're getting their chance to wrestle back with us, but we wrestle with them. You know, we need not to wrestle with our brothers and our sisters. Amen? Therefore, take unto you the whole armor of God. Notice it says, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all things to stand. You know, there's a difference between what I'm doing here, standing, and withstanding. There's a big difference there. Have you ever thought what a tree does? Does a tree do much? When you look at that tree, it's just standing there. But that tree is hard at work. Do you know that tree is lifting thousands and thousands of gallons of water from the roots all the way to the top and bringing that water down, and it's just lifting thousands and thousands of gallons of water up there. It's withstanding that. That's a process. Well, in us, it says to stand, but withstanding, like if I was standing here, Brother Darrell would just bang. He would hit me in the stomach. Ugh. I would withstand that. So there's a difference between standing and withstanding. Take unto you the whole armor of God so that we're able to stand, but we're also be able to withstand in that evil day. Stand, therefore, having your loins girded with the truth, and having the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of peace. Now, I like that one. Of all of the whole armor of God, I like that. I like the one about the peace, Brother Gerald. You know what? And I'll tell you why I like that. This last sword right here, this is a real gladius. It's a real Roman sword. Actually, this is not really sharp, but it's actual weight and size. And afterwards, if you're going to pick that up, you're going to find out what it's going to take to hold that sword. But anyway, when I see this right here, I'm talking about on your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, I always think of the Roman soldiers. Do you know what made the Roman soldiers so victorious in battle? It wasn't their tactics. It wasn't their weapons. It wasn't. It was their shoes. It was their shoes. The Roman sandals had little grommets in them, about that big in the bottom. And when they were in armed conflict, they would dig their feet. The feet had been shot into the dirt, into the ground, and they would have that gladius, and they would have their shield. And they were solid on the ground, and then they could wail the gladius and put the shield up. It was their feet that made them so invincible. And so when I see that to have our feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, I always think about that because that's so true. And all we do in ministry and all of our teaching and doing and all of your doing and getting understanding, it must be done in peace because those who sow the gospel must sow the gospel in peace. You can't sow the gospel in strife. You can't. The gospel must be sowed in peace. Yeah. And this really, really speaks to me. It says, I just like this right here. It says, above all, taking the shield of faith wherein you should be able to quench the fiery darts of the enemy, and take the helmet of salvation, and the prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all preservation and all supplication for all saints. Amen. Wonderful. Taken to you. Now notice it says, taken to you the whole armor of God. It does not say, put on the whole armor of God. Good. I wonder why we say that. Put on the whole armor. Don't say that. It says, take unto you the whole armor of God. And that word whole is not like a round circle. It means full. It means full. So take unto you the full armor of God. Because you know what? If you have half a armor on, you're in trouble. You're in trouble. You know, you're in trouble. If you don't have, you know, like something on your back, you know, you're in trouble. Because in battle, if you turn your back, you know, someone may hit you. And so you have to take on that full armor of God. Amen? Yes, we wrestle. But be aware of who your opponent is. Do not wrestle with God. You know, Sister Betty, I like that so much, I'm going to say that again. Do not wrestle with God. Never do that. Those who say that if they wrestle with God, they do not know what they're talking about. Well, they say Jacob did that. This is, and they say that because they do not know the Bible very well. The Bible says that there wrestled with Jacob a man at that night. Genesis 32:24 said, and Jacob was left alone. And there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. Now, I wasn't there, so I don't know if it was God or if it was an angel or if it was a man. But all I know, if it was God, Jacob should not have been wrestling with God.
Yeah.
Amen? Don't wrestle with God. Amen. We must never wrestle with God. We must never wrestle with God. Jacob did, and he limped for the rest of his life. And all he got was a name change. He went from Jacob to Israel. But he wept for the rest of his life. The question I would ask, what would God have given him if he would have submitted? If he would have said, God, you win. I mean, is that what God's looking for?
Yes.
Is he looking for us to wrestle with him? Oh, I'm going to wrestle with God. What?
No.
That don't make any sense. I wonder what Jacob would have received or Israel would have received if he would have just submitted unto God and said, okay, God, you win. You win. Wow. What did, you know, what did Jacob do? Foolishly, he returned that. Foolishly, he wrestled back. Don't wrestle with God. Don't wrestle with God when he comes to correct you. Do not wrestle with God when he comes to change you. Don't wrestle with God when he comes to bless you. Wrestle against the spiritual wickedness, the rulers of darkness. Don't wrestle against God. Oh, no. Why do we wrestle against God? Most Christians do not know that. Amen. Jacob, if he would have not wrestled with God, I believe he would have received something much better than having his name changed. And he received, you know, some blessings and stuff. But I think God probably had more, you know, more for him. I was watching Andrew Womack on TV, and he's talking about Peter walking on the water, and wonderful Peter walking on the water. And I'm sitting there, he's like, sit right here, Brother Darrell. Why did Peter leave the safety of the boat? Oh, I want to walk on the water. I want to walk on the water. And God's got a place of safety, and he's made a place of safety for us. And, you know, do you want to get out there on... Oh, I want to get out there on the water. Don't wrestle with God.
Amen.
If God provides a place of safety for you, I'd be very wary about leaving that place of safety. And in the end with Brother Peter, we saw that he had to be saved. Oh, he walked on the water. Yeah, he did. You know, of course, only of the four Gospels only recorded in one of the four Gospels, Matthew. But in the end, he had to be saved. Jesus had to save him. So I don't know. I don't think I'd be so quick to rush out there in the water and so forth and so on. Amen. Let us move in harmony with God, that he may strengthen us to wrestle against the enemy. Amen. Let us move in harmony with God so that he can strengthen us. Because I promise you, you will never ever be able to wrestle the enemy unless God has strengthened you. You can't do that.
Amen.
So you want to try. The disciples tried that one day.
Mm-hmm.
And then some demons knocked them naked, and they said, you know, Jesus and Paul we know, but who are you? Well, they were not strengthened with might in the inward man. They knew nothing. You know, they were not strengthened, and you know, they lost. But we will never, ever be able to wrestle the enemy unless we have been strengthened by God. He is training us for battle so that we may move contrary to the enemy, Satan. Resist the devil, and he shall flee from you. Resisting means to flow contrary to him. That's what the word resist there means. It means to flow contrary. And it does not mean to say, I resist you, I resist you, I resist you. I've heard a lot of people in church, you know, I'm going to resist this, and I'm going to resist that, and I'm going to, that will never do it. The word resist there means to flow in the opposite direction, or to flow contrary. Amen? And we can only avoid resisting the devil when we flow with God. Unless we're flowing with God, then we will, you know, we will not be flowing contrary to the devil. And only when we are flowing contrary to the devil will we be flowing with God. Resisting the devil is automatic when we flow one way with God. Amen. That's a very important point. Resisting the devil is automatic when we flow one way with God, because the two are contrary. God flows one way and Satan flows the other way. And we need to be strengthened to flow with God. Wow. Boy, that's another important point. We will only be able to move with God. We'll only be able to do the things that God wants us to do. We'll only be able to function and flow with Him when we are strengthened by Him. And if we're not strengthened by God, it will be impossible for us to move with God. Because we won't know how He operates. Because unless we have the strength of God, we can't do the things that He wants us to do. Ministry is a spiritual thing. And unless we've been strengthened by God, we'll never be able to minister. Oh, we'll preach maybe, and we'll teach, and we'll go, and we'll do all of those things, but there will be no resurrection life in us. There will be no resurrection life in us. We will not be able to say and do things that will touch the hearts of people. In ministry, when Pastor Foster and I go to India, if we do not touch their hearts, if we do not get our message past their ears and past their thinking, and those Americans, and he's white, and he's black, and if, you know, if we can't get what God has for us to give them through all of that, and we can't touch their hearts, then we will do them no good. It would have been best that we stayed in the States. But if we have been strengthened by God, strengthened with might in the inward man, then we'll have something to give them, something spiritual, and we'll be able to feed it to them, and we'll break it off out of our heart, and we'll be able to feed it to those Indian pastors and the leadership and all of that. But that only happens when we're strengthened with God. And we need to be strengthened by God to be able to flow with Him. If not, we will have no spiritual strength. No spiritual strength. No strength, and also no strength to resist the devil. Amen? Amen. Amen. Some parting thoughts. God provides us with much equipment. He does, with much equipment. God, in the wilderness of Sin, was equipping the children of Israel, teaching them and training them spiritually how to move and function with Him, how He operates and how He thinks. And, you know, the Bible says that God could only show the people His acts, but He showed Moses His ways. God wants to be able to show us His ways, not just His miracles and His acts and here's some manna and here's some quail and the clothes not wearing out. God wants to do more than that. God wants to be able to show us His ways. The way He does things, why He does things. And unless we've been strengthened by God, we will never, ever be able to see that. It would take much, much, much time tonight to explain in detail all of the different, you know, bits of equipment that God has for us. And there's the shield of faith. Many, many pages would be used for just that one piece of equipment, or the feet, you know, being shod with peace. The extent of equipment that God provides for His children is unimaginable. The equipment that God has for us is unimaginable. You know, there's probably more, maybe, well, I, There's probably more that God has for us in the next life that we're going to be living in, that maybe is not even in the Bible. And then when we get into that next life, I don't know, He's going to be able to open up a whole new dimension. And I mean, it's just God just has so much for His children. Unimaginable. There's more in God than we'll ever be able to use in this entire lifetime. He has more in us than we'll ever use in this entire lifetime. There are more weapons in our arsenal than those mentioned in the Bible. Many mighty sermons and messages have been preached regarding putting on the whole armor of God. Is there actual armor? I do not know. Probably not. Physical armor does nothing against a spiritual enemy. Amen? Physical armor does nothing against a spiritual enemy. Paul was conveying in terms to the Christians at Ephesus the importance of putting on the full strength, the full armor, the full strength of the Lord. As armor protects the soldier in combat, so does the strength of the Lord protect us. Wow. As armor protects the soldier in combat, so does the strength of the Lord protect us. Paul was using armor because the people feared the Romans. They feared the Romans. When they saw the Romans coming with their swords and with their lances and their armor, they were afraid. Paul knew that the people feared the Romans. And so when they said, take upon you the whole armor of God, Paul knew that the people knew exactly what he was talking about. Because when they saw the Romans, they went the other way because they were scared. Don't miss that point. Amen. Does each piece of armor mean something in the spiritual realm? I do not know for sure. I would say probably not. Paul was comparing a complete suit of armor to many of the requirements a Christian must have to move in the army of the Lord. Amen? I find it rewarding to know that the entire armor is effective through obedience to the Word of God. And we must do that, as the Word says, to take upon you the whole armor of God. Not take upon you the whole armor of God. No taking unto you the whole armor or strength of God. No strength to withstand in that evil day. We cannot earn the armor of God. Do you know that? You cannot earn the armor of God. You can't give so much money, or you can't do so many good deeds and get the helmet of salvation. Now, I'm going to work 3 or 4 more years in the church, and then I'm going to get the shield of faith. Okay, I'm going to work another 10 years, and I'm going to get the breastplate of, we can't earn that. That is given to us by God. It's given to us as we take unto ourselves the strength or the armor of God. And it's given to us when we've been trained, when we've been approved. It's like going to the bank, Show me what you got. Show me your credentials. Show me your assets. Believe it or not, there's an approving, because, as we said earlier, nothing in God is free. God will check us out. As the banker will check your assets out before you're going to go ahead and buy a house, That's just kind of the way that works. We can't earn it. It is given to us as God is able to train us, as God is able to approve us, and as we are strengthened by God so that we can move with Him. Oh no, we must take unto us the whole armor of God in obedience. To be strengthened by God comes only by our obedience. Obedience to the Word, obedience to the things that He wants us to do. In God, you can't do what you want to do. You can't. If you want to be a Christian, you can't go where you want to go. You can't say what you want to say. You can't do what you want to do. You can't do it. The church, nominal church, says, yes, you can do and go and say and freedom and liberty. Well, no, that's not what God says. God says, my word, you have to do this. And you have to do that. You have to go and say and do the things that I want you to say and do.
You got to go where I want you to go. You can't go where you want to go.
Yeah.
I mean, Pastor Foster and I, you know, we could stay here with our wives and have a good time, but that's not what God said. God said, I want you to go to India, and I want you to endure the 103 to 109 degree temperatures. Mm. I mean, you know, we don't have a choice. In God, you gotta do that.
But if we're strengthened with God, if we take into ourselves the whole armor of God, then we'll be able to do those things in obedience that God wants us to do. Amen. Our Heavenly Father, as we come to you now, dear Lord, we just thank you and we praise you for this wonderful time of teaching, Father, Lord. Lord, just take this broken bread, Father, Lord God, and just, Lord, let us feed upon it, Father, Lord God, and let your Holy Spirit, Father, Lord, speak to us in the notes. And, Lord, as we heard them, Father, Lord, we just thank you and we praise you, Father, Lord God. Lord, help us to take unto ourselves, Father, Lord God, the whole armor of God. Lord, strengthen us with might in the inward man so that we'll be able to flow with you and move with you and do the things that you want us to do, Father, Lord God. For Lord, we cannot do that, Father, Lord God, unless we have your strength and your ability, Father, Lord. Help us to take off our abilities, Father, Lord, so that we can put on your strength and your ability, Father. Lord, we pray these things in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. Amen.